Welcome to the Collide Podcast. We're a growing community of everyday chicks colliding with Jesus in our mess, our pain, our joy, and our stories. We value showing up as we truly are, so that's what you'll find here. Walls and masks being torn down so that we can allow Jesus to meet us where we truly are and hear about other women doing the same. We can't wait to collide with you.
Through my mom's inspiration, I have learned to be inspired by things that maybe I wouldn't have been, to be inspired by somebody that maybe is different from me, and to find joy and to find how I can be a better person through getting to know them.
Hey, welcome to the Collide Podcast. I'm Willow Weston, the founder and director of Collide, and today I'm chatting with Jennifer from Darling, I Love It. And Jennifer is a mama and wife who loves to be creative in her home and share it with others. She enjoys styling interiors, being with her precious family, advocating adoption, and dancing her heart out, and she loves Jesus. You can find her sipping a vanilla hemp latte and wearing overalls and heels any given day, but today you can find her on the Collide Podcast. So Jennifer, we're so glad that you hopped on to spend some time with us.
Thank you so much. I am just so excited for this opportunity to be with you.
Yeah, I'm excited that we made it happen. Yes. You have some serious fans, and your name came to me through several of them. So I'm excited to have this conversation with you. Can you tell us about how Darling, I Love It came to be?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I actually started about 5 years ago in interior styling. I love to go into people's homes and see what they had and just use what they have in just a different creative way. And so I started that business, and then I realized there was Instagram, and I thought, what's Instagram? So I thought, let's look that up. And then I was like, wait a second. So my styling business was called Love It Styling. And so on Instagram, I decided I always love to explain to people what I love. And I always say darling. So I'm like, you know what? Darling, I love it. All the things that I love can be encompassed in this Instagram platform. So I just started being creative online on my Instagram. I started to enjoy taking photos and sharing my story, sharing my adoption story and my family, as well as styling. So it all just kind of encompassed one, and it just became Darling, I Love It.
I love that. I have so many questions I want to ask you. Before I do, though, my first thing that I thought of as you're talking is how cool it is that God's using you in this world, doing things and using what you love. And I think a lot of times, especially as Christians, we often think, oh, God's going to call me to, you know, sell everything and move to a country I don't want to live in.
Yeah.
Have to do something I don't want to do. And yes, I know sometimes we do have to do those things, but how cool is it? How lucky do you feel that you get to do what you love in this world and that God called you to that?
Yes, it's pretty amazing. And I feel like it's a global mission, because when you're online like that, you have people from all over the world really watching and listening to you. And so it's been such a blessing to be myself as a Christian woman and just empower others to find Jesus just through the way I, you know, act every day in my stories or what I post or kind of the deep conversations I promote by using Jesus. And I really feel like God just speaks through me. And it's seriously been such a blessing using that platform this way, for sure.
Before you got this vision, discovered Instagram and started your styling business, did you have that sense that you felt like God was speaking through you, or were you yearning for that but hadn't quite sensed how he was going to do that?
That's a really great question. I think through adopting my son from Ethiopia, which I know we'll get into later, I think that brought on some curiosity of how I could kind of almost in a way globally spread Jesus through my adoption story. And so I think it just kind of came to be as I started. And then I realized what this platform could give me and could give others through just using my story and just showing really simply God's love, I think. I love how I can do it in such a simple way. And I know I have people from all walks of life following me. I've even had an atheist message me and say how much she appreciates me praying for her. So it's just this interesting dynamic that I've been able to experience just being online.
So how did your platform grow? I mean, you discovered Instagram, and how did your influence and impact grow? And were you surprised by it?
That's a good question. It's been very slow in my, I don't know, when I compare myself, and comparison, you know, is the worst thief, but I started with just, you know, my family members following me. And then just slowly, I think as I shared my story even deeper, and as my photography got better, I just started growing. I mean, and I just really became aware of kind of starting my own community as well. So I would, like, you know, message other mamas that adopted, message other stylists that were doing the same thing. And then we just kind of formed our own little community and kind of shared each other. And we even all met in Santa Barbara like a few years ago. It was so fun. And never, you know, met each other before, all Christian mamas, and came together. So I think I kind of learned to create my own group of friends on there. And then we encouraged each other and shared each other and kind of grew that way as well.
Wow. So how cool that you have this group of women who are lifting each other up and elevating each other instead of, you just said, comparison is the worst thief. I love that line. And find it to be so true. But you have found a community of women where you're not comparing and trying to knock them down to elevate yourself, but you guys are actually elevating each other.
Absolutely.
What is your advice for women who are listening, who have big vision for their life, they have big dreams, and they need that kind of community? How can they find that?
I really think, for me, I'm a pretty open person. And I think that's one of the hardest things for people, to find other people when they're closed. I really think if you, because I think women in general too are always afraid to, you know, go up to that cute woman and be like, hi, my name's Jennifer, what's your name? And just start that conversation. But we really have to do that. And I think it's just prayerfully saying, hey, I really need a friend right now. How am I going to do this? And really just putting yourself out there and being pretty open. I really think that's how we grow as women, as a community, how we can be better mothers, friends. And I think it's just being, having that open, honest dialogue. And you will just get such beautiful returns if you do it that way. That's what I believe in.
Yeah, I love that so much. And it's so hard for us to put ourselves out there, right? Because we're afraid of rejection, and we've had past experiences, maybe in friendships with women that have been hurtful. But I, as I was listening to you talk, I was kind of thinking, but if you think about how you feel when someone comes up and says, oh man, I have a friend crush on you, I really want to get to know you. Can we get coffee? That never feels, I mean, I suppose it could feel creepy, but I mean, it feels like a compliment. Like, that's seeking me out. And I think we hold ourselves back from expressing that to women that we feel that way about.
Absolutely.
And yet, if we can kind of reframe that, we're truly giving them a compliment.
Totally. And so, I get that online too. Like, women will be like, oh, you're my friend. And I, even though we've never met physically, I really feel like the Lord has brought these friendships, and that I've been able to be there for these women too, that can lift them up. And sometimes in my stories, I'll say, how can I pray for you today? And I'll get 100 messages of, you know, how I can pray for them. And I do believe that this online platform allows people to be a little more open too. So for anyone maybe wanting to start, like, in this Instagram world, I do think it is a way that women especially really need that type of friendship right now. And it can be such, it can be difficult, but it can be such a beautiful, beautiful thing too.
Absolutely. Does that ever feel overwhelming to have 100 messages in your inbox of people in need who are asking you to lift them up to God?
You know, it doesn't when I feel the Holy Spirit asking me to do it. I won't do it if I'm in a harder space, or, you know, my kids need me more that day. But if I really feel like the Lord's put it on my heart to ask, I honestly, I don't feel like it's a burden. I feel like it's just something that I just love to do. And I really, sometimes I'll even write their name down and try and check back in with them, just to see how they're doing. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch their story as well. So I think I definitely have to be in the right mindset. But if I am, it's I just feel like it's just such a gift for me as well.
That's awesome. So you tell us, what would you say is Darling I Love It's mission? And when you think about Darling I Love It's future, what are your big hopes and dreams?
Well, the number one thing is to spread Jesus and joy. You know, I just think that this world, especially now in the world we are living, I just want people to know that inner joy. And for me, that inner joy is Jesus. And so if I can do it in a playful, in an engaging way, then I feel like I've done my job, period, on Darling I Love It. I mean, I think that's that's my biggest goal. As well as just, you know, spreading goodness and spreading positivity, how negative it can be on the online space. I mean, even yesterday I talked about having a black son, and the negativity I received was pretty incredible, but yet the positivity was way above that. And just being that voice for mothers like me, for people who are wanting to adopt. I mean, if Darling I Love It can keep spreading all that good news about adoption, about, you know, kids of different colors that are in different families, then that means I have done my job.
I love that so much. Let's talk about some of your loves. I read some things you say you love, and one was your family, of course. Tell us about your family.
Well, I've been married to my husband. It'll be 20 years in September. And we're supposed to go to Italy, but I don't know with everything going on. So we might have to reboot and think of that. My daughter is 16, which I cannot believe. She's my quiet, artistic one, and she's biological. And then my son is 10, and he was born in Ethiopia, and we adopted him at 11 and a half months. And we live in beautiful Bend, Oregon. It's a mountain town. It's a real active outdoors town. We love to go hiking and paddleboarding and going to the river. And it's just it's a fantastic place to live.
It really is a fantastic place. I love visiting there.
It's fun.
if other people go there because they love to vacation, you know you're one of the lucky ones when you get to live in a city like that.
Yes, yes.
So you love adoption. Tell us how your story wove your son into it.
Yes. Well, when I was dating my husband, I asked him if he would be interested in adopting someday if we got married, and he said, absolutely. And so I knew he was a winner. I had always had it on my heart to adopt. I always thought we would have two biological children and then we would adopt the third. But as we all know, God had another plan. And after my daughter, we had infertility issues for about 4 to 5 years, but we started the adoption process prior because we knew we wanted to adopt. So it was an interesting thing because even though we had infertility, we still knew we needed to adopt. But in hindsight, I really feel the infertility gave us the faith to adopt. And I'm just so thankful for my infertility now. I can say that with 100% gratitude. It was a long process, but somebody at our church asked us where we'd want to adopt from. And I always want to do international. International was just on my heart. And she said, Ethiopia is really open right now, because with a lot of countries, you know, they're open or they close. And there's all the politics to that. So we said, great, let's do it. So literally like the next week, we met with Holt International out of Eugene, Oregon. And we felt really confident with them. And we just started the process. So it was about 2 years. We met our son when he was 9 months. So we had to go the first time to Ethiopia. We left our daughter, she was 7, went to Ethiopia, and I just still remember holding my husband's hand, and they just opened the door to the orphanage, and I spotted him. He was literally like right across from me, and he had one little tear hanging down, and the nanny was holding him, and I was like, there he is, there's our boy. And just, that was just the beginning of a beautiful, hard, you know, wonderful journey. And then we had to go to court in Ethiopia. And then once we passed that, then he was legally our son there, but we then had to travel home to wait for all the US documents. So it's kind of like giving birth and then saying goodbye to your child and leaving for 2.5 months. So that was probably one of the hardest 2.5 months waiting. And then we got to go back. And the day actually before we were supposed to go back to bring him home, our agency called and said, "I'm so sorry. Your paperwork got confused with another Jennifer and Jeff, and we do not want you to go."
What?
And that was like, yes, that was like, you've got to be kidding me. That's my son. And they said, "We're so sorry. We advise you not to go." And I called my mom, and the first thing she said was, "Jennifer, he is your son. God will lead. Get on that plane." And that's what we did.
Wow.
So we went against everything, but felt the Lord just leading us. And I was going to live in Ethiopia if we didn't get the paperwork done. And Jeff was going to come back home, but we ended up going. Jeff went to the embassy. He was like, "You can stay in Bend, Oregon with us. You can, we'll do anything for you." And they ended up getting our paperwork done in time. And we came home with a baby boy. So it was pretty amazing.
Wow. I love the faith and just the fierceness around how much you weren't going to let anything get in the way of being his mama.
Not at all. Not at all. It was a pretty amazing. And prior to, it's interesting how God works, because I explained to you that I had infertility, and 6 weeks before we went to meet him for the first time, I had an abdominal hysterectomy. So it's just amazing how I feel like God released me from all of that through kind of just my surgery and just taking all those reproductive out of me. And then I got this beautiful son. So it's kind of just an interesting puzzle that fits so beautifully. It was very hard at the time.
That's what I was going to ask you. You said you were thankful for your infertility, and I love that your perspective is one where you can look back and you can see the Lord's timing. You can see the redemptive story. You can see how all the pieces fit together to create what is now your family. When you think about women listening who, they can't say that right now, they're steeped in disappointment and grieving and the dreams they long for their life. What would you want to say to them in that space? Cause you've been there.
Right. That's a great question. I mean, that space, you know, there's the big space and then there's the tiny space. And I would say I'll always be in that tiny space, as far as there will always be that sadness of that, you know, what if, but yet the bigger space is like, I got my son. Like, I can't even believe that the Lord blessed me with him. And so those ladies that are in that space, it is probably one of the hardest spaces you will ever be in. But if you can remain in prayer, really remain in speaking with your spouse, speaking with that good friend that you can just be vulnerable with, I think that you will persevere. I mean, I think I had a couple really good friends that I could just grieve and cry and just be myself about the whole situation. And even when I would hear a friend get pregnant, I mean, those are hard things to deal with. I mean, you've been working at it for so long and being able to grieve that and tell a friend, say, "Hey, I just heard this, you know, my friend got pregnant and I'm so happy for her, but yet I'm so sad because I don't understand why my body, you know, will not produce a beautiful baby." So I think it's just having the support system around you, because honestly, that is what you're going to need for however long you're in that season. And you might always be in that season. And I think I remember telling myself, like, if I'm always in this season, it's okay to still be sad. And I think, and to allow ourselves grace, I think as women, we try and be so, you know, perfect in a way. And I think perfection for me now is showing that vulnerability and showing that sadness and being okay with it.
Absolutely. Redefining, strength and perfection is good work for all of us to do. You know, you mentioned having a black son and getting a lot of negative feedback on something you posted recently. Of course, I don't know what you posted, and we don't even have to go into that. But I have to pause and ask you, because we're having this conversation in the midst of this very heightened time where we're being invited to hear the pain and injustice of the black experience, and you're a white mom to a black son. What's happening in your heart and in your family right now?
Well, that's an excellent question. It's a hard question because we've dealt with racism pretty much since, you know, the first month we brought him home. It's hard because, like you said, I am a white privileged woman with a black son, but yet I am his voice until he's 18. So that's part of having the difficulty of dealing with society right now and trying to tell my views in a positive way. So like for my post, the other day we went to the pool and it was just my son and I. And I haven't even said this, but I broke my ankle in three places 4 months ago. So I'm in this really, yes, big recovery time. I'm still not walking. So I'm dealing with all of that as well. And I've shared a lot of that on my stories and in my posts. So my son was wheelchairing me in and we were kissing and hugging because I'm a real affectionate mama. And there was only us and another mom and our kids. And I went in because I've been lap swimming. And my son went to the hot tub. And the first thing the mom said was, "Oh, is she your mom?" And my son was kind of taken aback and was like, "Well, yeah." And she broke her ankle and I'm helping her and I love her very much. I heard him just, you know, go off. And it was just this dialogue. And we've had this before. But if he was a white child, the likelihood of someone asking if I was his mom is pretty low. So I just had this conversation on my stories and in my posts. And it was just very interesting. A lot of support, but a lot of negativity. And I think that people, it just shows how, unfortunately, ignorant people are when it comes to color, because people always tell me, "Well, color doesn't matter." And I said, "Look at my son, color does matter. He has beautiful brown skin. I have white skin. We do look different. Our hearts are the same, but from the outside, we do look different. And I think we should embrace color and embrace the beauty of that and embrace our differences." So I could go on and on about that. But yeah, that's just one little example of how we feel it. And it is heightened right now. And, you know, with both of my children, I mean, I just want them to be like Jesus, have the characteristics of Jesus. And when things come our way, we just respond in love and we respond in, you know, an educational way as much as we can.
Mm. Well, I love your heart for adoption and the way that you're inviting people into that story. And I know that there's so many things I'm sure that God has taught you on this journey. I'm sure there's so many blessings and gifts that your life has received because your boy's in your life. And I'm just grateful that you're inviting us in on all those things.
Oh, thank you.
You talk about loving Jesus, and you do that in a pretty personal and unique way. And I really like that about you. How did you first collide with Jesus?
You know, I'm lucky. I'm a blessed one just from a little, from being a little girl. I grew up in a Christian home, which was so supportive. And my mom just showed Jesus through her actions. And I think that's really where I learned that, just how we communicate with people. I love to hug people. I love to show Jesus through how I behave. And that's really been with me, really my whole life. And then I met Jeff, who, was a beautiful Christian too. And I really feel like his first gift to me was a Bible with my name on it. And it just, yeah, it was just such a beautiful, I feel like he made my relationship with Jesus even stronger. And it was just a beautiful thing.
I love that. You also say you love to dance your heart out. So
Mama,
at a wedding and the DJ puts on this song, like what's like your most favorite song ever that if it comes on, you are in the center of the dance floor, no matter if anyone's there or not?
You know, it doesn't matter what song. I will be in the dance floor. No drinking, just me and myself getting down. I mean, yesterday, that's been one of the biggest things with not being able to walk is I can't dance, but I did a post dancing in my wheelchair. I just did a post yesterday dancing up my stairs. So I'm like, I told my daughter, "Get the camera out quick. I'm going to do a dance." So it's funny because I just always, I mean, there's videos of me when I was a little girl, just in my tutu running back and forth the living room. I've just always
just had that jive in me. And I took an adult hip hop class last year. It was so much fun. I even did a performance. I was in dance team in high school. So it's just a fun, it just is a release for me. And we have dance parties all the time at home. I don't know. My son, he's okay with it still, but my daughter's kind of like, okay, mom. You're too old for this.
I hear you. TikTok has taken over my house.
Oh my goodness. Isn't it crazy? It's crazy.
Well, I don't do it, but just watching them do it is
pretty amazing.
Hilarious.
I know. It really is.
Hey, so you love to create beautiful spaces. Where do you think this love came from?
You know, it's funny because all really the women in my family love to create, and a lot of us do it in our home. And my grandma, who lived to 102, she passed away last year, had this love for her home. And I love how she made it so intentional. I feel like Jesus was always in her home with just how intentional she was, from the little placemats on her, you know, table, even though we just came by just for the day, or just the way that she would have hymns going and we would sing a praise song before lunch. I just feel like the home is so intentional how we want to make it. And then my mom was the same way. And then I just kind of took it from her. I mean, even my dorm room, I had it all cute. It's kind of funny when I think about it, but I've always just had this love of just creating a space that people can come and just feel invited.
That's awesome. Did you have one of those rough freshman experiences where your roommate was like, chill out on the decor, would ya?
Yes.
Oh, did you? I was joking.
What happened? She loved it. She loved it, but she was just so in awe that, like, I would make my bed and then I had pink flowers on my bed sheets and I wanted to match it to, like, you know, my artwork. She was just like, oh, wow. Like, okay. So she was appreciative, but she was like, okay, this is interesting. You know, you're 18, but whatever.
My kids are always like, that's so extra. That's so extra. You've been extra from the get-go. I love that you have this family where the intentionality and the beauty was passed on to you. And I think about some women who that wasn't their experience, that in fact, they might have grown up in places where they longed to create beauty and it really wasn't an option for them. They either didn't have permission or the resources or the know-how. And now they have families of their own and they want to create these sort of intentional, sacred, beautiful spaces, but they don't feel like they know how. What's your advice right. for them?
Ooh, look at these good questions you've got. I love it. I think with intention too, I think people think when it's intentional, it means money, and never does it mean money. I mean, you could get paper plates out, candles, and you've got an intentional dinner. Make mac and cheese. It doesn't matter. I think it's just all about your mindset, and give yourself grace. Like, if you want to use paper towels, use paper towels, but have your kids write little messages on them for every family member. I mean, I think you can get so creative and just have fun with it. And I think women, kind of like I said before, we put so much pressure on ourselves that then we don't do it. Then we don't actually do the intentional action, even though we're probably thinking it, but it's like, ugh, lighting candles, that takes work. No, it doesn't. It takes a minute. And involve your children too. I think it's great to be intentional in the kitchen with your kids. I think it's great to be intentional with them, you know, helping set the table and then really sitting down for a meal. I think we've lost that too. Even something simple like that is intentional, because life is so busy right now. We've created this busy, busy world. And I think even putting our phones away at dinner, that's intentional. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be this elaborate scene. I just feel like we can do it in such a simple way. And I think simplicity is even more beautiful than exotic. You know, I think that if we can just have this mindset, okay, I want an intentional home, but how am I going to do it in a way that's going to make me feel comfortable, not stressed out? And then have my family members and then whoever you want to bring into the home as well. Like, I've even had people, you know, I had a family over once and we just had grilled cheese. I told them, I said, I'm tired, but I want to have you over. Mm-hmm. We're going to have yummy grilled cheese, maybe put a little avocado in there and just
you know, have time together, light candles, and, you know, it doesn't have to be this huge thing.
And again, that feels like a compliment. When someone wants to come over and my house is a mess,
right,
the people that I'm willing to have over when it's a mess, that's a compliment, yes, to them, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, come over and eat canned tomato soup and some grilled cheese sandwich in our pajamas.
Absolutely. Seriously, because I think, too, we've lost that sense of come over. You know, it's usually like, yeah, meet me somewhere, or mm-hmm, people don't invite because they're afraid of what the people will think. Nobody cares. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as you just invite someone, it's, there isn't anything like getting that invite, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's like hospitality has become a lost art.
It has. Sure. And it's so sad because it, I mean, it's so simple to have, you know, that hospitality, but yeah. I would agree.
The intentionality piece around family, we do a lot of family dinners. And one of the things that I find is it's almost like I need to mix it up. Like, mm-hmm, my kids are used to like, we're at the table, blah, blah, blah. Like, and that's all good.
Right.
But some of the fondest memories, or the ones I think they'll remember the most, are when I actually, like, they come down to dinner and, you know, I put a blanket on the middle of my living room floor and we're having a picnic in the living room and like eating with our hands.
Absolutely. Or, I love that.
You know, in the middle of coronavirus, it was pretty funny. I had interviewed someone on the podcast about kind of intentionality in the home, and it really inspired me. And so I was cooking, my husband was doing dishes, and he is a great guy, I promise, when I say this, but I was really thinking about, like, how do we make moments special? And so I kind of brought this idea up to him, and we were about to have dinner. I said, what can we do that's kind of unique or special? How can we make this simple dinner on a weeknight in the middle of coronavirus special? And he's like, I don't know. He's just kind of like exhausted and annoyed. Like, can't we just get dinner on the table and be done with it? And I, like, all of a sudden I'm on a soapbox, right? And I'm like, no,
we're going to make this special. You know,
we get one childhood with these kids, and we need, you know, and I go into this thing and I'm like, all I'm asking is for an idea. And so we're like in this little like fight to try to create something special.
I love it.
And he goes, fine, just like, don't use forks and spoons, put random stuff on the table. And I go, you do it. And so he got out a giant soup ladle, like a weird spatula, a whisk, and something else. And when we yelled for the kids to come down to dinner, and it was one of the most fun dinners we've ever had, where we ate our meal with the weirdest utensils that made it virtually impossible and super disgusting to eat. But all that to say, you bring up intentionality, and intentionality actually requires thought or space to actually consider what you want your family to experience and then lean into that.
Absolutely.
What do you think it requires?
Well, I think for me, my mind is kind of where my creativity is anyway. So for me, it doesn't seem very difficult. Like, with your husband's reaction, for him, it was just like, are you kidding me? And for me, it's like, oh, this is a creative challenge. I love it. You know, let's get that ice cream out and put sprinkles on it. Yes. You know, it's that kind of excitement that I get. So for me, it's kind of simple. My husband would definitely be more how yours was. Like, are you kidding me? Let's just eat. But I love to create just those memories. And I think sometimes I definitely put more intention into it. And then other times I think it just happened organically, yet it was still intentional. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because I just love my family so much. So I'm willing to, you know, go that extra step.
Right. When you think about some of your fondest family memories of things where you leaned into some sort of intention around creating that moment, what are some that come to mind?
Well, the recent one, just because I've been disabled the last 4 months, and it was my daughter's 16th birthday. I was like, what am I, how am I going to be intentional? So every year I have a birthday sock for her. So I put it on the outside of her door and I fill it with all these fun little goodies. A little intention there. And I actually didn't think I would do it, but I was like, I'm going to do this. So good thing there's Amazon to find the things I needed. And then we had a porch date. We went outside. We have a nice porch.
and lit candles. We just ordered pizza. And the kids loved it because it wasn't – usually I kind of make a nice meal, and I did not do that. But I think that they just enjoyed it more than ever because cheese pizza, who doesn't love that? Mm-hmm. So that was just a fun – a recent fun memory. Let me think. Like, I think I've been really having my son be a part of the intention because I want to teach him how to be, you know, in a married position, really. I mean, I want to teach him young. Hmm. So I think watching him, like, since I've been, you know, in bed a lot, he's been, like, making me meals and being intentional about it. And it's the cutest thing to see. He's been doing these rice dishes, and he'll come up, and he's got a napkin, and he's got it, you know, just all set up so beautifully. And then the whole family, early on my accident, they came in, and we would have all these dinners in our bedroom. And it was just, it was sweet to see how they were kind of doing what I would do in a role reversal. Mm-hmm. And so that's been kind of neat to see them more doing the intentional side than me.
Hmm. That's when you start to see that maybe there is some legacy that you're passing on.
There is. Cool. And you don't see it when you're doing all of it because mm-hmm. I am the type of mom that likes to do it all. And they've stepped up, and it's just been kind of a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah.
To watch them grow in this way.
Very cool. Hey, your Darling I Love It tag words are style, inspire, dream, love it. And I'm hoping we can break those down a bit, and I'm going to shoot you each of those words with a question, and then you can shoot back at us your thoughts. Are you in for that?
Sure. I'm like, sure.
You're like, click, podcast over.
I'm like, style. I don't know.
So style, what if you admire style, but you don't feel like you have it?
What if you admire style, but you don't? Ooh, wow. Look at you. I think everyone has style. Honestly, I think it's a matter of kind of, so, like, for me, my style, my clothes match my home, plain and simple. I think it's funny, but I'm a very eclectic person, and my home is very eclectic. And the way, like, right now, I have a flower top on with a striped skirt on, and a lot of people would never do that. Mm-hmm. And pigtails. I have pigtails. I'm 44, and I'm wearing pigtails. So if you don't think you have the style, I say, you know, with Pinterest, with magazines, with friends, just start looking. And I think you will be drawn to a certain style once you start kind of researching it. I think mm-hmm. it's really actually quite simple.
Yeah, that's awesome. Inspire. I think sometimes we need to be inspired to then inspire. Where do you go for inspiration for life, faith, family, calling, leadership, and home? I mean, I know you might not be able to go through all of those, but share some go-tos that inspire you.
Those are a lot.
Yeah.
The Bible, for sure. I'm inspired by my mother. I talk to her almost daily, and she's so wise. And my grandma was so wise, too. She was just such a role model to me. And she taught me all those, the list that you just asked me about faith, family, friends. Mm. She was just a real, I mean, she was 102, but yet she was wise, but yet had the words of just a really progressive Christian woman. It was just so neat to learn from her and to learn to just to be kind to everyone. And I really think through her inspiration, through my mom's inspiration, I have learned to be inspired by things that maybe I wouldn't have been, to be inspired by somebody that maybe is different from me, and to find joy and to find how I can be a better person through getting to know them.
Absolutely. Very cool. Dream. What if there are women listening now who've given up on dreaming and they started settling? How do you advise them to begin to give themselves permission to re-dream dreams for their lives?
Oh, please stop. Stop, stop. Give yourself grace. Regroup and journal. Write those dreams down. I think when you write it down, revisit it, you can make it happen. You might not make it happen this year, next year, but what if it happened 3 years from now? And I think when we plant those seeds of dreaming, it will become a reality. I absolutely 100% agree. We have to do the work and we have to prayfully, you know, be okay with the ups and downs. But I think dreaming is mm-hmm. such a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, we do so much work at Collide with women, and so many women I find have truly kind of just set down their dreams. Absolutely. They feel like they have to, they feel overwhelmed by their daily tasks. They've been told they don't have what it takes. And I love just listening to you say, stop, stop, stop. Like, don't do that. Yeah. You know, we have this one life, and so many women are just giving up on dreaming and settling.
They are. And I think the spontaneity too has been lost. And I think if you can, and that means like if a friend calls and says, hey, you want to go on a walk, and you're thinking, no, I have all X, Y, Z to do. Hey, try and figure out how to go on that walk. Because either she needs it, you need it, you both need it. I think we tend to just have these lists running in our head and we lose opportunities. I mean, that's something I've really worked on, because I'm a real, you know, type A personality. I want to get X, Y, Z done before I do this. But I've learned if I just stop and just be like, you know, it's still going to be there. The laundry's still going to be there. I'll get it done. Mm-hmm. And I think friendships and what that person might need at that moment too, I think for us to be aware too of what other people need is really, really important as women. Mm-hmm. And just saying yes to that walk could lead to, you know, that dream that you might know you might not even know you had, which I think is always an amazing thing when you look back to. Hmm.
Yeah. Good word. And by the way, laundry, and this doesn't go with any of your followers. They'll never follow me for saying this. But many years ago, you know, I'm a working mom and I have two teenagers now, but I would spend all my time off doing laundry because they're both in sports every day, right? So you have like, and then PE in school. So you have like three outfits a day and then pajamas and towels and whatever. And then I would fold all of it, wash it, you know, fold it. And then you'd watch my son just pick it up and throw it in his dresser drawer. It was no longer. I literally stopped doing laundry. What I started doing, and this is so terrible, it's like a watering hole. I'll wash and dry the laundry, and it goes in this giant pile in our bonus room, and it's like a big mountain. And you can sometimes find people in there trying to cover up with a towel because they're trying to find a pair of underwear.
I love it.
We have gained you go, Mama. To the dark side when it comes to laundry in our house.
Right. I love it.
But I'm chasing other dreams, Jennifer.
Right. So style, you're taking that walk.
Yeah, yeah. Style, inspire, dream, and then love it. What if a woman is more like hating it, putting up with it, surviving it, kind of liking it in small ways in their life or big?
I like that. Because we all, there's like laundry. There's always something that we kind of like. You know, honestly, I think it's that joyful attitude. If we can, in our hearts and hearts, change what is going on in our heart, I think anything we can love, honestly, any trial, any trauma, if we can get through it and then look on the other side, we can love that experience. I mean, I've had a lot of experiences in my life that have been not fun, traumatic, but honestly, I would not be who I am today if I hadn't have been through them. And I love now speaking past that I've been through those experiences so I can share them, so I can be there for somebody maybe going through that experience. So even an experience I'm in now, it's been a pretty dark season, not being able to walk. And I got to stand yesterday at my kitchen for 10 minutes and clean dishes. And I cannot tell you how much I loved doing that. It was just a joy. And I think it's all attitude. I know there are so many women out there right now in really hard situations. But I do believe with the Lord, with the Bible, with our friends and family, that we can really truly love and get through anything. I really truly believe that.
You know, I looked at these tag words and as I spent some time getting to know you online, I think they might call that online stalking, but getting ready for the interview, wanting to really be able to ask you some good questions and go some places that felt meaningful, I decided that there was a word missing in your tag words. I'm just going to, you know, take the authority just to say
Let's do it.
And you mentioned the word earlier, but truly joy should be added to your cute tag words, Jennifer, because you seem to just bring joy to all the spaces you go and you invite us to do the same. And just really seems like a gift to the world. And I know that you mentioned your deep joy comes from Jesus, but I just have to ask you, in the moments or the hours or the seasons of life when you don't feel joy and you need to go out and get some, what do you do?
I love that. Well, I love to go on walks in nature. That it's going to take me a while to get back to that. I love to dream. I really do. Like, I had some dark days over the last few months, and just closing my eyes and dreaming of the future for my family, for my kids. I love to dance. That will put me in the happiest spot within a second. And I have been dancing in my chair. I've been dancing in my bed using my arms. And I just think that my mom even told me last week when she came, she said, Jennifer, you do tend to just look at the positive. And I do think it goes back to my grandma. She was the same way. Like, I'm using her wheelchair right now. And I know if she was still alive, if she had her wheelchair, she'd say, no, oh, Jennifer, you use my wheelchair. I'll be fine. I mean, she just had that attitude, even though she needed the wheelchair. And I feel blessed that I've been able to just be able to be okay with my faults, okay with my goodness, and just, you know, be the best I can be through all of it, through all the seasons.
Well, I am going to ask you one last question that I wasn't planning on asking you, but I just thought of it, and I'm actually really curious what you'll say, but we talk a lot at Collide about colliding with Jesus, running into Jesus. And really, when we do, we know that when we invite women to collide with Jesus, they'll be forever changed. And the more we collide with Jesus, the more whole we become. And we talk a lot about that around here. And when you collide with Jesus and you experience him and have over the course of your life, if Jesus were to say, darling, I love it, what would you say Jesus would say? I love this when I see this.
I think Jesus would say he loves how I am with the people I love. I truly am a friend. I truly am a mother. I truly am a wife. And I give it my all. You know, yes, I fail, but honestly, relationships to me are just the number one thing. And my relationship to Jesus is my number one thing. And I really think he would truly see that in me. That's a beautiful question.
Well, I love that you feel so loved by Jesus. Like, you have this strong sense that he adores you, and you're inviting other people into knowing that they're loved and adored, and that life is very special and sacred. And when we lean into the intentionality of it all, we can truly make things that feel hard and difficult beautiful. And I see you doing that in your own family, in your own life, and in the world. So thanks for inviting us to come along with you.
Thank you. I just want to get up and dance. This is so much fun. We need a virtual dance party.
I'll have Ben sometime. Or hey, it sounds like you're really craving chores where you stand up. So if you want to come tackle my mountain of laundry, feel free to come up to Belly.
I'm on it.
How can I know people are listening and they want to connect with you. They want to go follow you on Instagram and get to know you more. How can they connect with you?
Yeah, just Google Darling, I Love It. That's my blog. And then Darling, I Love It on Instagram. Those are the two places you can find me most. And if you want to chat on Instagram, just direct message me and I will message you back. And sometimes I even do a voice message because it's fun to hear people's voice.
Well, that's awesome. I love it. So thank you for hanging out with us today, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me, and have a blessed day.
Thank you. And you guys, for those of you who are listening, may you know that you're loved and lean into the beauty that is right in front of you and continue to think about ways that you can be intentional to create beauty for other people in your life. Keep colliding with Jesus and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. To keep up with us, you can find us on Instagram at we.collide, on Facebook as at @WeCollideWomen, and you can also visit our website at wecollide.net to find our blog, resources, event information, and more. One last thing. If you enjoyed this episode, would you take a few seconds and leave us a review? It seems like such a small act, but reviews help us to keep producing this content and help other women find it too. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode and letting us walk with you as you seek and collide with Jesus.